to another episode of Rags to Riches, The Refined Mind. And today I have got a beautiful set of hosts, co-host. So, introduce yourself.
My name is Natalia.
Ooh.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Debbie.
So, I'm really, really excited, guys, because, it's a special moment. It's a special moment. We'll get into that. But first, I do like to put everyone through a quick fire question. So,
oh my gosh.
Are you ready?
No.
Okay, so what's the most interesting place that you've ever visited? It is meant to be quick fire.
Oh, sorry.
Glasgow.
Oh, me too. Morocco.
Nigeria.
Okay. What's your go-to karaoke song?
The Boy's Mine.
Chat, I don't do karaoke.
Okay, what's your, like, the song that
it
you
would
play?
Probably be a worship song.
Like?
What's the song I like?
It's meant to be quick.
Avalanche.
Oh, yeah, that is a...
Yeah, that's
The Lion King.
For real?
Circle of Life, yeah.
Okay.
That is very karaoke.
And what's the most bizarre dream you've ever had?
Bizarre dream?
Yeah. Oh. As in like a real dream? Like,
yeah.
I dreamt I was a boy.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's bizarre, right?
Mm-hmm. That is.
I mean, mine's a bit heavy. I mean, trying to be I was attacked by a trans demon. So it was like a lesbian and then it had like a penis.
Oh, wow.
So that was the most bizarre, I would say, because it was.
Oh, wow.
I think a dream where I think I fell and there were spiders everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I woke up and I could still feel them.
Oh.
Yeah, that was.
That gives me
I know, right?
Wow.
Straight into prayer.
Yeah. All of those shapes are prayer. Yeah,
literally. What spiders meant to like. Signify.
It depends.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like, is there no?
That's what I was saying. It all
does
depends.
It was wisdom.
I mean, it was a long time ago, but it was like.
It
was
depends
frightening.
When you're going into symbolisms, isn't it?
Mm.
Because not everything. Sometimes creatures that are way dim dark. Sometimes it is not dark per se.
Mm.
It depends.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolisms can be a bit of a.
Yeah,
yeah,
but this, from the sound of it, this one wasn't.
Yeah, it's about 15 years ago, but I remember it like it was today because I woke up and I could still feel them. You know, like 5 minutes after, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So these two, they're not fire questions, but I do like to ask. I do like to ask this question: like, what was a pivotal moment in your life? Why don't you use that, Debbie?
Oh. Do you know what happened to my kids? Each one, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why was it a...
I think because I didn't want kids. There was a period in my life where I was like, oh my gosh, the trauma I went through. I couldn't imagine putting a child through that.
Yeah.
And then you have your own, and it's like, well...
Daunting.
Yeah. Like, I made this, we made this. Like, you're just looking at this child, and you're like... I know you, but I don't know you, and just everything that's brought each child has just been like just an experience.
So for the record, so how many do you have?
Four.
You've got four.
Mm-hmm.
And was each different in different experience?
Entirely, yeah. Different pregnancies, different births, different child. Yeah, literally.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, and the last question is, what's something that you wish you had known 10 years ago?
Gosh, how far was 10 years? Is
that...
What was that? Maybe what?
Slow down.
Slow down?
Yeah, don't be in a rush to go through life.
Okay.
Like, savor every moment, you know. I think in the last 5 years, I've done that a lot with my family.
Yeah.
And I've just realized that you can miss out a lot if you're in a rush to kind of achieve so much. So like,
yeah.
I've slowed right down. But yeah, I would have told myself that 10 years ago, like.
Just keep it, take your
chill,
time.
Relax. Take time.
It's okay.
Being patient with yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Because
I think the older we're getting, the more you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, shoot.
Yeah.
If I just chilled, take a seat back a moment as it comes, you know, understand the moment rather than, because I think sometimes you kind of panic when you're getting into difficult situations.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck in that situation for so long.
Yeah.
And then when you get on the other side of it, you're thinking, if only I just learned to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Breathe and be patient, take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in particular that you kind of felt like, I rushed this, like I didn't have to, you know, go into it so quickly, or if I could do things differently then?
Gosh, if I could do anything different, I think it's, I just think it's, probably maybe when G was born.
Yeah.
That's my daughter, by the way. And I think it's, you know, you have expectations over yourself.
Yeah.
And I think I had a lot of expectations on myself, and I think I was so hard on myself.
Yeah.
And getting to this part of life now, I'm thinking, you know what? You'd have been okay.
Yeah.
Just to take it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Take a day as it came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, you know, savor the moment, enjoy the child. And even though I did enjoy her, but then there's a lot more things I thought I wish I could have done.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I'd done more things than just sit and try to worry about what life is going to be like, and or even not even thinking about life, because I think I was just stuck in this in this moment.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. We definitely deep dive into that a little bit more as well. I just wanted to ask you, Debbie, because you've got four kids. How far apart are they?
The first two are exactly 2 years apart, and then it's 3 years, and then 3.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Two.
Four under 12.
Four, no, 2, 5, 8, and 10.
Four under 12.
Huh? Four under 10.
Four under 10. Yeah. Why do I always think that? God.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And earlier you were saying that you went through certain things in your life, and that was a little bit like daunting to have now have your own. Did you see any of that transpire into, or even try to transpire into?
Yeah, it was more like their parenting. Like, my mum's she's an amazing woman, but she was a single parent, and there were certain ways that she would kind of be angry, and there were just certain things that I just didn't want to bring into my own home.
Yeah.
And it's only when you're in that position and you kind of like, you react a certain way, you're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it was especially with Tiffany, my first.
Yeah.
And then when I would encounter it, I'd be speaking to my husband like, oh, I can feel that anger and I don't like it. And it used to kind of make me cry a lot.
Was she angry at you?
So my mum would be angry, just angry at life, angry at my dad.
And then take it out on...
Unknowingly take it out. And we know that now because of we've done our due diligence in therapy, reading books and reflection and whatnot. But honestly, I just had to like take a lot to God in prayer, and really, it's not just praying, it's active. So how can I, if I do feel this anger, how do I not do that to my child, if that makes sense? And honestly, like, complete transformation in that aspect.
Yeah.
And even with the additional children, it's like I'm learning now. So what Tiffany may have experienced, the second didn't, the third hasn't, the fourth hasn't, if that makes sense. And
Because sometimes I feel like as kids, it's like you feel the kind of brunt of what your parents are going through. Because you know, like even when you talk about discipline and stuff, sometimes it's, are you beating your child because you're angry or are you beating your child because you're like disciplining them? And I feel like a lot of kids have experienced just like the anger, especially if you come from like a single parenthood. It's like the frustration and the anger, and the child kind of takes it all.
Or the fear as well.
Yeah.
You know, like when a child's running across the road, for example, and there's cars coming and the parent drags them up. It's like, I told you! And they beat the child. It's like, oh! You know, and they were like just innocently going across the road. So they do it out of fear as well. But yeah, you do feel the brunt of it.
Oh my God.
You feel the tension.
You're like,
How
many
Where's
times?
Where's the mirror?
I know. It's sometimes taken from what you're saying, sometimes it's the way our parents disciplined us, or they relate. I don't think it's more to do with discipline, it's how they related to us. It all depends on how they grew up. And then because we never really understood how they grew up, so we don't, when they're acting the way they acted until now we're grown, you've gone into therapy, you've been reading about things, then you start to understand, it's like, do you know what, it wasn't really her fault why she acted like that.
Yeah.
That takes maturity, though.
This is what we're saying. Yeah. Now we're growing and thinking, it ain't that bad
after all.
You realize
that they're a product of their own childhood.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I think I fell in love with my mom 10 years after her death.
Oh,
Oh, wow. I did not like my mother at all.
Oh, for real?
We had a terrible relationship, me and my mom. And it's after 10 years after her death, I remember, I can't really remember exactly what I was listening to. But then the part of it that got to me was, people love the best way they know how. Because we want to be loved a certain way. But they don't know the way we want to be loved. Because that's what they've learned. Because that's what they're coming out from. And like you're saying, it's when you're shouting at your children, you can hear your mom in your head. It's like, gosh, I sound like my mom. I was doing that with my sister. So you're trying to correct someone, but then you're almost sounding like your own mother. And then that's when it's like,
the thing that you want to avoid.
The thing that you don't want to be. That's when you're like, oh, but yeah, so it's always people love the best way they know how.
How did you find therapy? Did you go and any of you went therapy?
Kind of therapy, Take it over to my husband. I've done a therapy course, counseling course. So it is more self therapy, but it's therapy regardless.
But you have to be self aware to do that. And I think earlier there was an episode that I did and was talking about accepting like your circumstance. And I think until you accept it, then you're not gonna have that self awareness to be like, actually, I need help. I need to speak out because I'm bottling all of this up. So how did you find that?
Do you know what? I think just journaling. So I read a lot of books, a lot. So a lot of the stuff I've learned has been through like childhood trauma books and kind of mirroring and reflecting on my childhood. Why did I react this way? Oh, this is why my mom acted the way she reacted. And taking what I need from what I'm reading, what I'm seeing, the YouTube videos that I'm watching, speaking to other moms that have gone, or other people that have gone through the same. There are some really strong women in my life that when I do feel like I'm struggling, I can pick up the phone and they know what to say. And just kind of adapting each, what I'm learning to myself. And one of the biggest things I've learned is honestly, in terms of my parenting and how I parent my kids is pause. So even before I retaliate, before I say anything, before I count to 10,
I'm already a bit fine.
Honestly, because if I don't, I'm lashing out.
Yeah.
And if I pause,
it's like.
Yeah, and I do that. Okay, right. What do you want? What's going on? You know, I come down to the level, and that's what I do now. So you're not going to. I try not to. There's times, like, if my child is running across the road, that goes out the window.
Time to count to you.
So and I'm screaming. And I'm like.
It's a reaction moment.
But when like the kids are arguing, because we're getting to that stage now, 8, 10, 5 year old, and there's a lot of bickering, there's a lot of arguing, and you just want to scream something.
Especially
like, be quiet. And that's you just get this look of fear, like, you know. If I'm like, right, I start with the Shiloh, she's fine. Okay. What are you feeling? Like, what's going on? And she will speak. And then,
and it's crazy because at that young age, they can, like, articulate.
They can, surprisingly, if you know what to ask them. Then speak to each of them, come down to their level, communicate on their level as well. There's no point me speaking to a five-year-old like she's 10. You're just not going to get anywhere. And then kind of talk them through. And that's another tip. I talk their heads off. Like, I'll talk.
But you know what? It's like, it's interesting because I remember I was having a discussion with a group of friends and was talking about discipline. And what my friend was saying is like, her parents used to like sit her down and literally talk and talk and to the point where it's just like and it works sometimes because it's like when you get called for another meeting you have to sit down and listen to it. It's like, rah, okay. I get it. But did you like, how did you find that transition, like how did you find it so that it doesn't affect you? Like, yes, you've read the books and like you had your husband as that support. What was that willpower? What was that, you know, in you that was like, you know what, I don't want to, you know, be like that or experience that?
Breaking like generational curses. Breaking the trauma, like it stops with me as much as possible. Like I know that there's going to be certain things that I'm not going to do right with my kids. I'm not, you know, it's just life. But where I can stop the trauma, where I can stop something passing on to them, I will, and that's a big driving force. And really wanting them to be who God has created them to be individually. Like, I have my desires for them, but honestly, that might not be God's plan. It's not their plan. And when I say like slow down, in what I mentioned earlier, you begin to realize more about them, their desires, their skills, yeah. what they're good at, what they're not good at, what yeah. I might be forcing them to do that they don't want to do, and
yeah.
Just juggling all of that kind of together.
Yeah.
And like moving forward with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely working say wanting them. To break generational curses and not bring that trauma into another generation.
Yeah. How did you know, like, this is a generational curse that I need to break? Like, because not everybody will have that awareness or in their faith to be like, hey, this is something that is just continuous, you know? Like, I remember I met a lady and there's so much death, like, in her family. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's like her brother-in-law is dying, her husband is in hospital, mm-hmm. so it's like this continuous. And at that point, I'm thinking, that's a spell of death.
Yeah. But then it all goes back to what you believe in, your belief yeah. isn't it? Because for you to know about generational curses, you got to be believing in God, really.
Yeah.
To say there's certain things that can't keep on going, that keep on happening in your lives, and it's constantly.
Cycles.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cycles that keep on happening over and over again in your lives. All the women, all the ladies in our family are not married.
Yeah.
Which is what happened then, yeah. So,
you know,
sitting down with both. So if you're married or you get into a relationship, find out as much about each other's family.
Oh,
so we realise that we're
many. That dating life is like, I have a list of questions to ask you.
I'm not going to say that I'm not going to marry you, but we need to know.
We need to know what it is you need to be prepared.
Is it a health thing? Is it, like, none of the women on my mom's side were married. And in fact, the men have got married and now divorced. And my grandma divorced but remarried, so there's like a really strong
trend.
Most of them had children outside of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them did, sorry.
Majority.
I'm exposing my family now. I do have a great family, don't get me wrong. So like, and then my husband understanding, oh, there might be a similar trend on his side.
Yeah.
There may not be, so we know, number one, that there may be an attack on our marriage as well. But that's really definitely helped, kind of like you have to communicate with the other half. You can't just rush into a relationship without understanding what, even if you're not like a Christian, just do your due diligence.
Ask the questions.
Because you could find diabetes, you could find hypertension. There's a lot of things that you need to know about.
Yeah.
Then you'll have to know how to eat and also how to look after yourself. Yeah. So.
I didn't know I was a carrier until I think the church told us to do tests before we got married. And I was like, wait, like mom? Right. And she was like, well, it's not for me.
I'm so done.
My dad, and my dad was like,
she denied it.
I'm a carrier, and you and one of your other sisters. And then I called that sister. She was like, did you know?
And it's never told you.
Oh, wow. Didn't know. Yeah. And then Sam then had to get tested because if we then have children,
of course,
there is again, a high chance. He's not, but I have passed the trait down to one of the children.
Okay.
So she's gonna need to, you know.
So when you found out, like, I'm a carrier. Because I don't think there's enough education around sickle cell anyway.
Yeah.
But then how did that hit you, and how did you feel when it's like, okay, and then potentially I could pass it down, and then you kind of did that.
There was that initial like fear, like, oh my gosh, what if Sam is like a carrier? Like, that, what does that mean for our kids? Because we do know a few family friends who suffer badly with sickle cell.
Yeah.
And know some people that have passed. But it was very short term because Sam very quickly got his own results and it came back, he was clear.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of like, fear does always try and creep in.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've got the blood of Jesus.
It's the faith,
I still did some research though, because I realised, okay, I'm anemic and there is potentially a link between low iron and being a sickle cell carrier and what that could mean. And I still do research here and there now.
Yeah.
For it, so that I can at least educate the child that does have she doesn't have it, she's carrying it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, if she falls in love with a guy that's a carrier,
then it's
a lot of prayer and fasting. but
it's true though, like those questions, like health, because it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big responsibility to place on someone as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like being open and transparent. Yes. Like, this is my life. And this is what I come with. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that?
Early as well.
Yeah. But they're like difficult conversations.
They are, but I think they're mature enough to have those conversations.
Yeah. Because
you're taking mental notes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what do you think I like to dinner for to talk about?
What do you mean?
And then I'm like, have you ever dealt with anything like this in your your life.
You guys are doing
family.
Interviews.
No, like, to your parents, how's their health? What are you predisposed to? Because it might not show up now.
Mm. What's your background like? Oh, God. It reminds me of Creflo Dollar. Remember that preaching when he's like,
what you is your credit check?
Yeah, like? What's your credit check?
Oh, like, my God.
You got debt?
There's a lot
to unpack when it's, you know, relationship wise, mm-hmm. if we're, you know, going down that direction, but having to know a lot more, it's like hiding things. You, I guess you can say, because it's a bigger topic that you don't really want to delve into very early, but it's not going away.
But you know what my mom says? It's like when you first start dating someone, that's the best time to ask them questions.
Exactly.
There isn't that, like,
you don't know how to feel bad. Because now you've gone and fallen in love with each other. It's like, hey, you're
dead. It's okay. I'll love you like that.
Yeah.
Until things get worse.
That's reckless. I've gone to uni and I'd pick, you know, small debt. I remember the first, when I told Sam, I was crying. I was building it up. I've got something to tell you, but I didn't know
what to tell
you. It was, when I say, the tiniest little, like, bill that I hadn't paid. And he just looked at me like, are you all right? Is that it?
No, it's a thing. Mm-hmm.
I feel like financial topics and transparency and vulnerability is a lot harder for me to even discuss and share over health issues. I think there's a lot of trauma there from when I was younger and how like I was treated with money with my parents and how they entrusted me with money and stuff. A lack of education on money. My parents, obviously, they were immigrants. They didn't know much. Schools don't teach you anything about it. So I literally had just no education whatsoever, and no trust from my parents and money. So I remember, like, even like going into my mum's bag, for example, like she will be watching me like a hawk. I don't know where this stigma came from, but it was almost like I felt like a thief. I was like, you told me to go inside your bag. Like, she wouldn't even leave me with like a credit card or something. So like, if she needed money, but I saw how she treated like my younger siblings when it came to money, and she trusted them more. Both of my parents trusted them more. Yeah, so I mean, I wasn't a bad child.
That stuck with
me. It really stuck with me. So I kind of was just like, with money, it was kind of hush hush. You don't talk about it. Yeah. Very sensitive about that situation. So yeah, I would be mortified.
Yeah.
If someone asked me on a date, I'll be like,
give me that, why do you want to know?
I'll be like, why do you want to know how much I make? What do you need to know?
It's like secret service.
Because of that, I also want to have, I don't know if it's like a pressure that I'm putting on myself, but I want to make sure that you're fine, you're good. I'm patterned before I even get into a relationship, so that they don't start sending those letters.
Letters start coming through the house.
The door, like, where did this come from? Because you're your marital. Yeah.
Let's start. Can't hide anything.
Can't hide nothing.
No, literally.
Mate. Why is Summer Council, when we live in Chelsea, why is Summer Council chasing us for this bill? I don't know.
Okay. No, but apparently if you don't respond to them for like 6 years or so, a few years, stop, they give up.
No, do they now?
Mm. No, but I think dating is so different to now, probably than when, because you've been married how long now?
I think this is year 14.
You're 14. Mm. I'm pretty sure dating then is so different to now. Like, did you have those conversations with Sam, like, when you first... Because you was...
We did. Okay. But I look back now and I realise just how young we were. Yeah. Especially him. Because you guys knew how old he was then. He was young, but he carried himself so mature.
So
older than me.
Yeah, he's
always
very mature.
I think we would do a lot different, definitely. I would have had even more conversations because we've gone through everything that you would in your early 20s and late 20s together, which has had its hardships, but I still wouldn't change anything.
I think as well, like, it's different, I guess, when you're like dating and when you get married, because you join. So it's like everything, like you said, there's no secret, like there's nowhere to hide. So it's like you're forced almost to like enter into those difficult spaces, like living together, finding out new things. It's like, oh my god,
nothing prepares you for it. I would say, like, dating, nothing compared to married. When you're married, it's like, I didn't know this about you. Like, I've never seen this side of you. Like, why do you leave that there?
I was about to say, you have your own way of living. Yeah. And then somebody else comes into your personal space.
Completely different. Completely different. And it's the other way as well. Exactly. I still have habits that, you know, Sam, like, we'd like, it was two different people when it comes to certain things. And yeah. for years, I'd be like, you're just weird. Like, you know. Oh, yeah. yeah, like Sam, when it yeah. comes to certain stuff, he's like, I'm very much, very, you know, he has his own like toothpaste, for example. Whereas for me, I'm like, we share toothpaste? Not toothbrushes or
really? Yeah,
I want toothpaste. So in my, when growing up, we shared that kind of stuff.
Of course, you have one toothpaste in the bathroom,
him,
isn't it?
It's different. And I just used to look at him like, there's something wrong with you. But then not so even OCD, because he's not like particular, okay. but he's like,
it's just
he knows own. Why he wants to have his own stuff, and it's mostly because of the kids. But I still thought it was weird, because you know so what kids funny. Are like? They'll be eating the toothpaste and then put it back, and he's very much, he doesn't like germs.
Oh my God.
But I used to look at him like, no, that's weird, you know? But there's loads of stuff that we do that's different. But now, honestly, you just grow to accept it,
yeah.
and you just work around it, and you just realise that some things are just not worth fighting over at all.
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, anyway. Babes, you know, pick it up when you're ready. But yeah.
Yeah. It's a different mindset, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's maturity as well.
Like, yeah.
you have to mature when...
Then you can sometimes you might trip, sorry, no, because no, of circumstances, isn't it?
She's like, this is a lot.
it's the circumstances, just like I was saying, like things when you started asking, like, what would you have done 10 years ago differently? It's like that. It's a growing process. Someone can tell you having children, oh, it's this. But when you have children, it's totally different. And children are different. Every child is different. How you raise your child and how I raise mine. Totally different.
Yeah.
How your child is and how mine is, totally. It's like almost like learning on the job.
Yeah.
Everything is like, life is like learning on the job. Like
constantly learning.
And I think that's another thing about life, just going into life, willing to learn every day.
Yeah.
That's just, you're constantly learning.
You have to be
willing
to learn. Yeah. You have to be a good student.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be a good student of life. You're going to be leaving us in a minute shortly. Is there anything that you would do differently, you know, with just your journey? And like your life in general.
Apart from what I said earlier, which is to kind of like slow down.
Yeah.
Probably be more patient as well in my marriage.
Yeah.
Especially with Sam, because obviously the kids are gonna grow up one day, they're gonna leave home, and I'm gonna be face to face with my husband.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know.
<You're boomed. laughs>
When your kids come into the mix, one, and then two, and then three, and then four, the other person, you could get irritated a lot more, and you just become more judgmental to that person. Extend more grace, to be honest, more patience to that person, because they're also going through their own process as well as you. It's not just about what I feel as a woman, it's also what he's experiencing as a man. You know, we all go through transitions, and it's so easy to kind of amplify your own over what the other person is.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of you guys know what my husband has kind of battled behind the scenes. So I would have definitely said, like, give this guy patience, and wait, and you'll see the product of what God had intended all along.
And do you feel like with anything that you kind of went through, like, you received like a healing? And like, if you did, like, how did you receive that healing?
Did I receive healing?
Yeah.
Throughout, honestly, when people say, like, oh, God has seen me through, it is only him every step of the way, be it with childbirth, the trauma that we go through in life, whether it's, you know, you lose a job or a health issue or the kids are ill or whatever's happened, I think God has really showed his hand. Even when I felt like, where are you in this situation? Just staying faithful, holding on to his promises. Remembering that he really will never leave us and forsake us, and that if we're feeling distant from him, it's me, it's not him.
It's not me, it's not him.
Yeah. Understanding that life is life, we can't escape it, and there will be seasons where there's going to be like, we're going to feel the closeness and we're going to feel a bit, you know, distant. Far.
Yeah.
Like those of us that have had kids, know the change that happens when you have a child, like you don't have as much time to give to God, and then you feel guilt, like, oh God, I'm not spending as much time with you, how is this going to impact my walk? But honestly, just understanding that he's with me in every situation. When I'm folding, when I'm cooking, when I'm cleaning nappies, when I'm being vomited all over, he is there in that, not just on the pulpit or on the podcast, he's there
He's so sweet.
It's closer
thank
to the
so
floor.
Much.
Yeah.
It's closer mm-hmm. to the floor.
Oh, thank you.
Make me want to lay out.
Where's the soaking music?
I know. No, it's been amazing having you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm so sad about that. Motherhood.
She's leaving us.
For the children.
Yeah, for the children, that is motherhood. But no, thank you so much. And we should definitely sit down some more.
Definitely.
Yeah. Damn.
Hello.